This is Mando Linguo, a Star Wars Clone Wars era fanfic, written by Passera Day and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R and contains the pairing Obi-Wan Kenobi Satine Kryze, with additional tags for Mandalorian worldbuilding. What if there was Duolingo for Mandoa, I asked myself. The author regrets nothing. No Jedi hate, take that elsewhere. Vague references to Integration by Milbury 5. DS. Bondage. Predicament bondage. Satine Kryze's language kink. Summary. It's Duolingo, but the threat is real. The idea comes, as these things so often do, when she's sitting at a state dinner and trying not to murder Obi-Wan Kenobi. They've been seated next to one another at the table, either as an attempt to start a war or an attempt to pacify them both and prevent one. She is still unsure. Either way, her ire continues to rise throughout the courses as he talks incessantly of the war and its politics and the Jedi's role within it. Peacekeepers, he calls them, as if drawn-out war had ever led to peace. Protecting oneself is one thing, but aggressive retaliation skirts the line of what the Kitsad are so fond of, and it sets her teeth on edge. She makes it through the first three courses by the skin of her teeth, and it's only when Obi-Wan begins to talk of their time on Conquered Dawn that she finally clamps a hand down on his thigh underneath the table, ensuring that her nails dig hard into the thin skin behind his knee. Her polish is reinforced. If she wants or needs, she can easily draw blood. In this instance, she only aims to bruise. A silent reprimand. I think that's quite enough, General Kenobi, she tells him, meeting his eyes as her nails dig just a fraction deeper. This is hardly the time for such talk of politics. His reaction is immediate and needling. Elekalor, he responds, peering up at her through his lashes, falsely demure. It's a look that promises retaliation. Obi-Wan never was one to behave, and it's as aggravating as it's infuriating, even after all these years. She can weather it, though, at least for the rest of this evening. As long as he doesn't try to bring her into his tall tales again. And as long as he keeps the Mandoa to a minimum. He knows full well what his speaking her language does to her. Him and Aroeti, who'd learned the language for her, to please her. A clear example of how their culture could be spread without the need for violence. Gods, if only there were more in the galaxy outside of those born on Mandaim who could speak our language. Her thoughts went, traveling down a well-trodden path, as she turned to speak to a politician on her other side, smiling at their attempt at a joke. Then, abruptly enough to startle even her, she realizes, I'm the Duchess of Mandalore. I can make that happen. She takes Obi-Wan to her bed later that evening, and works him over until the only words he has left are, and every touch sends him straining against the rope she's tying against his skin. This time, they're in a very fetching shade of blue to bring out his eyes. He ends the evening panting and sated, boneless as she pulls the blankets over the both of them. He leaves beard rash across her chest the next morning, and she idly contemplates kicking him out of her rooms, naked. In the end, she doesn't, but only just. Perhaps next time he's on Mandaim, she'll give in to the temptation. It'd give her guards something to gossip about amongst themselves, of course. But they, at least, knew better than to pass it on. The same could not be said for those on Coruscant. Back home, she starts to scour the archives, half a memory tickling at the back of her mind from her lessons as a child. Eventually, she finds it. First, a single mention in a record of national expenditures dating to before the Sith Wars. From there, she works her way through the governmental records from that time until she finally finds what she's been looking for. The Integration Program. Obviously, she has no interest in capturing people and forcing them to convert, but the framework of language and culture learning is solid, if not somewhat outdated. She tinkers away at it in the evening, when she's put aside the mantle of Duchess of Mandalore and is just Satine. Pulling the course contents first, deleting the portions that relate solely to physical training, not possible to implement without extensive effort, and not what she's intending anyway. Then, fiddles with the order of some of the modules. At the end, there's a workable program, she thinks. Workable enough to be molded into something functional. And that's all that counts right now. She'll need to get a linguist involved to help smooth out any changes in Mandoa between the Sith Wars and now. Somebody in to help rewrite some of the culture modules to be a little less obviously wartime propaganda. Somebody to work out the best delivery mechanism for something that was no longer in person. She'd ask the Minister for Culture to oversee those changes, and any others that may be necessary to make. That was only logical. But then, how to actually get it to people outside Mandalorian space? She mulls over it for most of a week, throughout a Senate session covering the impacts of taxation in the Outer Rim, and then a visit to Coruscant. A poster for the Republic Communications Service catches her eye as she's disembarking her ship, and she can't help but consider as she listens to Senator's grandstand. Yes! Yes! That might work! Before they leave Coruscant, she sends an aide to collect the paperwork necessary to authorize an app for distribution on the Republic's network, then sets them to making a list of all the elements necessary. It's remarkably little in the end. Once the paperwork has been cleared, she puts together a proposal for her Senate to approve, which is greeted with great excitement, and lets the Minister for Culture pull together a team in order to bring the idea to life. She doesn't think about it further. Far too busy with attempting to keep Mandaim supplied and stable and out of this pointless war. She's done her part in birthing the idea. It's up to her government to bring it to life. Then she gets a comm. The fact it was in Mandoa wasn't especially notable, all things considered. However, the sender very much was. Satine, you and I may not agree on many things. We never have. Nevertheless, this job your government has hired my clan for, while unexpected, is something I can respect. I had thought that under your rule that hunters like us would have no place. I am glad I was wrong. Ursa Wren. She stares at it for a long while. Once she's recovered from the shock, she goes to pour a drink of Tahar. She has a feeling she's going to need it. The Quran had looked hesitant, then speculative, when she had first requested the cuffs. She'd given them an example beast to work from, a beautiful circlet of lace-worked gold from Bimisari, and enough basker to smith her cuffs twice over. The finished pieces look lovely around Obi-Wan's wrists, the delicate, organic pattern almost shimmering in the moonlight as he tests their strength. He can't make them buckle or bend, despite putting the full force of his strength behind them. Despite how they look, more decoration than restraint, more air than metal. He finally falls back against the sheets, panting and sweating from his exertions. "These are exquisite, my dear," he manages to get out, before she shuts him up with a kiss. She also had a matching gorget made for herself, a perfect adornment for formal events. Next time the two of them attend a Republic Senate function together, she plans to wear it. Just to watch Obi-Wan flush. She sets up a meeting with the culture minister to discuss the app's progress, setting aside an hour. It should be enough, she thinks. It isn't. The culture minister brings the aide heading the project, who is both enthusiastic and incredibly competent. She'd previously been in a different department, she explains, working on how to integrate Clans Baroya better into the new society. So when she'd been called on to work on this project, she'd seen a chance to solve two problems at once. The biggest issue with learning programs like these, she explains with great gusto, is user consistency. Users sign up and pay for the courses, then drop out partway through. Not ideal whatsoever. And, of course, the best way to ensure users don't drop out of a chosen stream is to encourage them to stay on. With data pad reminders and tutoring if they need assistance, then further encouragement if they fail to respond to those early methods. The aide has diagrams to illustrate her points. She has a lot of diagrams. She seems very excited about them. And it's all perfectly legal, too. I cross-referenced it with the legal team. The aide finishes with a flourish of her hand. It's very clear in the terms of service that the initial sign-up and payment qualifies as a retainer fee. This means it's completely legal in Republic jurisdictions, of course, and we already have a training program under construction for the customer service part of the program. Of course, Satine echoes. She feels simultaneously overwhelmed, pleased, and as if she's perhaps unleashed something horrible into the world. You will call me if you become too uncomfortable, or anything begins to hurt. That's an order. Yes, Alor, Obi-Wan pants, already looking exquisitely debauched as he tests his bonds again, finding no more slack than the last time he tried. He shivers, settling back into the bondage, letting the soft ropes and Beskar chains hold him in the form Satine wants from him. He's precarious, balanced on the ball on his good foot, ankle twitching as he tries to keep himself steady. Satine has trussed him up such that he can either balance himself on one foot, tiring himself out, or relax into the ropes and let them tug on the delicate Beskar chains clamped to his nipples and laced around his genitals. Painful and arousing in equal measure. Not that the two are especially different for Obi-Wan in the first place, but it does make for a wonderful tease. She has a senatorial function to attend tonight. An hour or so of talking with people she dislikes and defending her views from people who don't understand and have no desire to do so. It's going to be boring at best and torture at worst. She anticipates torture on tonight's menu. But it will be easier, knowing she has such a gift waiting for her when she gets back. With another check to ensure that Obi-Wan has his comms securely in hand, She brushes her hand across his neck, gently pushing his chin up with a single knuckle so she can kiss him on the mouth. Be good for me, and when I return, you'll be allowed an orgasm. You know what the punishment will be if you come too soon. Obi-Wan shivers again, jerking when the motion tugs at the chains. A reminder of what's to come. With one final fond look, Satine straightens her dress and leaves the room, donning the mantle of Duchess Kryze. I've heard that your government is being very bold, banning armor and changing the official language to basic. It's always good to see a planet properly joining us in the core. Satine doesn't throw her glass of champagne in the other senator's face, but it's a near thing. This evening has been intensely frustrating, as she knew it would be. And not even the reminder of the gift she has waiting back in her quarters is enough to calm her after this most recent insult. I'm very sorry, but I think you must be mistaken, she tells him, her best politician smile stretched across her face. Obi-Wan enjoys calling it her fuck you expression, and frankly, he is not that far from the mark. You see, armor is an integral part of our culture. In fact, my clothing is Beskar woven to reflect this. New and innovative armor design is hardly the same thing as banning it. She takes a sip of her champagne, enjoying how the man is paling. In addition, Mandoa remains one of the two official languages of the Mandalore system. And we've recently begun a new initiative designed to make learning it both simpler and more widely available. I must ask, where have you been getting your information from? Other senators are looking over in interest now, gravitating towards Satine like sharks sensing blood in the water. That is to say... The senator stumbles over his words, sweat breaking out over his brow. How very interesting, Bail Organa comes to the sniveling man's rescue. More's the pity. Though at least he's an engaging conversational partner. She turns away from the senator who'd insulted her, letting him scurry away, and makes an interrogative sound in Bail's direction. He nods his head, continuing. I had heard similar rumors, though I dismissed them as hearsay. I knew there was no way that you'd be doing such things, Duchess Kryze. Truly, it is startling that those rumors have spread as far as the core, Satine responds, aware of their audience. Given that in our system, they're well known to be Death Watch propaganda. This statement sends a frisson of shock arcing through the senators around them, radiating out like the concussive blast of a bomb. Clearly the issue had been more widespread than she thought. Something to consider after this visit to Coruscant had been concluded. Shocking indeed, Bail agrees, especially in the wake of your programs aimed at increasing connection with your culture. What was that new app of yours called again? Truly... She needs to send this man a gift of some sort. Obi-Wan, maybe, if he was in an obliging mood. Yes, Mandolinguo. Our initial trials have been a great success, and it's been authorized and is available in the Republic, too. I'm sure one of my aides can sign you up, if you're interested in learning. Bail laughs, gesturing widely with his glass. Too late for that, I'm afraid. I've already signed up. The crowd disperses after that, most to go back to their own conversations, though there are a few that make their way over to Satine's aides, which, hopefully, means a few more high-profile users of Mandolinguo in the coming weeks. Thank you for that, she murmurs to Bail as he makes his way next to her, smiling and nodding at people across the room. I was quite ready to do something inadvisable. He snorts, tilting his head even closer to hers and responding,
Yes, I recognize that face. From Obi-Wan, in fact. It's the same face he uses before doing something absurd. I had thought he'd be here tonight as your guest.
Bail has very eloquent eyebrows, and he uses them to great effect.
Satine would almost blush if she hadn't put so much work into her senatorial face.
Instead, she responds with an innocent smile and a glib,
You know how it is. He's a little tied up at the moment.
Somewhat more literally than Bail expects, she thinks, given his fond but exasperated expression.
Probably for the best, he decides. The man's a gifted negotiator, but I think he might have challenged Senator Harcourt to a duel after what he said.
Well, that was his name. Satine hums, finishing off her drink. I didn't bother to ask. She steps back into the room to see Obi-Wan still straining in his bonds and breathes out a sigh as her shoulders begin to relax. Good boy, she praises, as she steps over to her dressing table in order to begin deconstructing the evening's hairstyle. Then raises an eyebrow as Obi-Wan whimpers, shivers, and comes all over the floor. With a disappointed tut, she turns away, pulling out the first of the pins.
Or not, it seems. Am I asking too much of you?
No, hello,
Obi-Wan grits out from behind her, accompanied by the tinkling of chains and a further whimper.
Lost his balance by the sound of it.
Niseta, he gasps from the back of his throat. Niseta.
She finishes unbinding her hair, then slips from her gown and strides back over to him, clad only in her undergarments. Lifting his chin with her finger, she looks into his eyes, testing the validity of his statement. His eyes are glazed, open and vulnerable. And she is still so soft for him, even after all this time.
Apology accepted, darling.
But you do still have to make it up to me.
He nods, panting through his mouth, and he is so lovely like this, she can barely breathe. She runs her hand through his hair, watching as it curls damply behind his ears.
He has been good for her, waiting so patiently while she was away.
Even if he didn't quite manage to do what she wanted him to, he still deserves a reward.
I'll loosen the ropes, and you can apologize properly. How does that sound?
Without waiting for a response, she starts loosening the ropes holding him aloft, easing him to his knees on the floor. He sways a little, but doesn't fall, listing toward where she stands.
How about we start with you cleaning up your mess,
How does that sound, darling? She scratches one hand through his beard, smiling as he nods. Go on, then. Show me how well you can apologize. The email is short and to the point, and arrives just after lunchtime in Sundari.
Satine, this seems like something that will interest you. Ursa Wren. Attachment. Helmet-recording-1493313.vid.
Satine quirks an eyebrow before clicking on the attachment link. After a few minutes of stunned silence, she calls her secretary to have him reschedule her next hour's worth of appointments. It's very important, she tells him. She needs the next hour to be free for something absolutely urgent. The video attachment tacked onto the email is the helmet recording from one of the Mandolinguo owls, as they're called. A fun play on the app's logo. All the Baroya are mix owl when they're working Mandolinguo jobs, a role which they take to with great relish. The quantity of owl-adjacent markings on armor has increased enormously since Mandolinguo was germinated, to Satine's ongoing amusement. This particular owl, it seems, has been tasked with encouraging an errant student to complete their Mandoa 101 module, Helpful Essentials Learning Program, or HELP for short. In and of itself, there's nothing abnormal here. At this stage, there are hundreds of Baroya doing the same thing around the galaxy every day. No, the thing that has her canceling her appointments to watch the video through is the errant student in question is Pri Vizsla.
They're still there,
a Death Watch member mutters, just loud enough for Owl's helmet to pick up through the sound of distant blaster fire and the closer sounds of a bustling war camp.
Student Vizsla,
Owl says pleasantly,
you are overdue for completion of your help module.
Pri seems to be pointedly ignoring Owl, talking to two of his lieutenants and gesturing at a map spread out over the table in front of them. After another moment's silence, Owl switches to internal comms and asks, permission for level 3 persuasion tactics?
Approved,
comes the swift response from the other end of the line, a handy list of options popping up in the corner of the helmet's HUD. Owl nods to himself, before striding over to Pri and, without any fanfare, wrestling him into a chair, arms twisted sharply behind his back, and seat sufficiently unstable that the man clearly needs to work to keep himself from falling over. There's a whine of blasters heating up as the men surrounding them startle, but Owl remains calm, barely a blip in their vitals monitoring.
Student Vizsla,
Owl repeats,
you are overdue for completion of your help module. As per the terms of the agreement you signed with Mandolinguo, missed deadlines shall be corrected. Do you require assistance?
Chabur! I know how to speak, Mandoa! Pri hisses, struggling in vain against the hold. Owl works admirably to keep him just off balance enough he can't get leverage, without letting him slip in a way that could potentially cause soft tissue damage. The Mandos around them begin to lower their weapons when it becomes clear that their leader isn't in any danger of being harmed, just embarrassed. Their body language gives away their silent laughter, external comms clearly switched off so that they could snigger in private. Owl sighs, soft enough to be missed by the external mic, but not the internal one, before continuing, light and pleasant.
In that case, you should have no issues completing your help module. Naturally, I shall remain to ensure that you do so promptly.
Satine can see that Pri is starting to look rather harried, and can't help but quietly wonder if he actually does know Mandoa like he claims. That face certainly isn't one of someone who's merely annoyed by an interruption. Pri finally gives in, after a further 10 minutes of yelled complaints and insults, where his lieutenants stand around looking increasingly amused.
So who do you work for?
One of them asks Owl, while Pri gets at a data pad, looking pained. Owl checks that the Mandolinguo app is opened, then looks toward the other Mando.
I work for the Department of Culture, Linguistics Division,
they say.
The pay is excellent, and there are opportunities all over the galaxy.
There's a pregnant pause, as the collected Mandos seem to digest that.
Department of Culture?
One of them asks.
Where? Amandaim, of course. I think the official base is in Sindari, but they run training in every dome for interested Baroya.
Owl's voice remains polite and informational, though there's a moment's hesitancy that tells Satine they needed a moment to recall the information.
And it's all work like this?
Another Death Watch member asks, speculative.
Strong-arming people into doing their homework? Yes and no,
Owl replies, taking a moment to check that Pri is still working his way through the module. Satine has to place a hand over her mouth to hide a giggle at how many incorrect answers he'd managed to make less than a third of the way through.
I specialize in written modules and lower-level encouragement processes, but there are other Baroya who prefer to take on higher-level modules and more recalcitrant students. Wrestling a Mando into a submission hold is low-level.
Owl nods.
Oh, yes. Barely a level 3. I didn't even have to use my grapple or my jetpack.
There's a very speculative silence following this proclamation. Pri gets another question wrong on his module, and looks about ready to either cry or throw his data pad across the tent.
So, what was that you were saying about payment rates earlier?
Pri does throw the data pad then, working himself into a truly spectacular tantrum, where he's being betrayed by everyone he knows and all he's worked so hard to achieve. How dare his Death Watch members double-cross him for some Darmanda idea, which isn't even any good at teaching Randoa in the first place! Satine loses her fight to retain composure less than a minute in, devolving into hiccuping laughter as tears stream down her face. She can't wait to tell Obi-Wan what his offhand comment all those months ago has led to. He'll never believe it. The end. Reader's notes. I had an absolute brain fart moment where I couldn't remember if it was Pre-Vizsla or Pre-Vizsla, so I went back to YouTube and I found the video from, like, God, 15 years ago, 13 years ago, of Jon Favreau, because he voiced Vizsla, talking about the voicing of and everything. And at the end of the video, he goes, "Do you think they know all the Mandalorians are from New York?" And I died, because it's true. It is. All Mandalorians are from New York. But honestly, the first time I read this, I sent it immediately to my roommate. We both died over this. It is incredible. The fact that Satine makes her and Obi-Wan matching bondage gear, but like sexy jewelry bondage gear, because you can do that with Beskar. So obviously they're going to be, what? No kink at Pride? Ha ha, kink in the senatorial complex. Because she's absolutely going to wear that gorgeous gorget to like all of her. Anyway, I love it so much. I love it so much. I love this is how we spread the Mandalorian Empire. I love the nod to the integration program. The story is so good for me. If I had any kind of art skill, any kind of coding skill, to make a tiny little patch for Duolingo, which is Mandalorian vocab, that is what I would do, because it would be the coolest fucking thing. But also just a little bit about how owl imagery is proliferating on armor, because that's Satine and Bo-Katan's thing. It's their family's bit with the night owls. It's the Kree's family crest. So good for me. And then Ursa Wren having a cameo. I love her. I love her so much. I have a tattoo of a piece of her helmet on my ankle. So anytime Ursa Wren shows up gives me great everlasting joy. But yes, this is just everything I didn't know I needed to ask for. It's just absolutely fucking beautiful. So thank you to Passera Day for having blanket permission to Podfic and for writing this story, because it's Duolingo, but the threat is real.
has lived rent-free in my head for 2 months straight. It's beautiful. Or 1 month, I guess. It's only been up for 1 month. It hasn't been two. Anyway. No, October. It went up in October. I read it in December, and now it's January. Okay, anyway. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Have a nice day.